Well, good morning and happy Mother's Day. What a special day that we get to celebrate. Unfortunately, we don't get to celebrate with you in person, but the fact that it's Mother's Day and we get to at least have this type of time together, I want to tell you happy Mother's Day. We have some incredible ladies in our church. But you know, when we talk about happy Mother's Day, you know, we have a lot of incredible ladies in our church that aren't technically moms. But today, nonetheless, is not for you any less than it is for anybody else. The way I look at it, the way I celebrate Mother's Day is that we have a lot of spiritual moms. We have a lot of women who pour the love of Christ into people. They invest the love of Jesus in the lives of those who are coming behind them, maybe those who are younger, maybe those who are in a different place in their spiritual journey. We have a lot of different moms, but that doesn't mean that you have children. It just means you're a mom, and I'm thankful for you. Ladies, this morning, what we're going to be talking about isn't necessarily pertain just to moms, even though it's a Mother's Day service. We're going to be talking about some things that's relevant for all of our ladies. And men, don't be sitting back thinking, well, I can just check out because it's a Mother's Day message. No, it's the Word of God. It's for you as well. But we're just going to be applying it in a different, little bit of a different way. So this morning, happy Mother's Day. And again, that's for all of our ladies today. That's for all those who have poured the love of Christ into somebody else. You know, I was blessed with an incredible mom. And the way I was blessed the most is by how she poured the love of Jesus and the truth of God's word into me throughout my life. A lot of times it didn't take. A lot of times I wouldn't listen. But that's why I'm so thankful. That's what made her an incredible mom, was that she loved me with the love of Christ. That's what makes my wife an incredible mom, is how she does that and pours Jesus into our children. And I'm so thankful to have them as the two leading mom figures in my life. So I'm thankful for that. So happy Mother's Day. Let's dive in this morning. Let's enjoy some time together. I'm thankful for the ladies in our church, and I'm thankful for how God has blessed us with them. You know, when I was a boy, there was something that would drive me absolutely crazy. Well, technically, there was a lot of things that would drive me absolutely crazy, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to focus on one. There was something when I was a kid, it drove me absolutely bonkers. See, my older brother was a mini replica of my father. They had a lot of similar features, and when you pull out old pictures of my dad and compare them to how old my brother was, I mean, it was cookie cutter, man. It was creepy, and even to this day, they still share a lot of the same features. And it would drive me crazy as a boy when adults, we would be there with my dad or we would be there as a family, me and my brother, and adults would be lean over towards my brother and be like, oh, look at this. He is an exact replica of you. Like, you look just like your dad. And, you know, he did. But as the little brother, you're standing there next to him and like, all right, what am I going to get? And then they would look at me and they would say to me, the most horrible thing for a child my age to hear, at least with my age and delicate ego. They would look at my brother and say, oh, you look just like your dad. And then they would look at me and you know what they said. They said, and you look just like your mom. My mom? I'm not a girl. How can I look like a girl? Don't tell me I look like a girl. Like, it just flew all over me, man. It like drove me crazy. It was like, hey, your brother looks just like your dad, and you look like your mom. And I'm like, but my mom's a girl. I don't want to look like a girl. What does that mean? And I got so offended. It would drive me crazy when they would say that to me. I just didn't understand. I remember even as a kid, I would go to my parents, like after things like this would happen, and I would be like, hey, was I adopted? Because I don't look like my dad. And I would never even acknowledge the fact that somebody said I look like my mom. It was just, I don't look like my dad. Was I adopted? And my parents would constantly make, no, you weren't adopted. You are our son. Now, the older I've gotten, my brother and I look a lot alike. And we have a lot of similarities and resemblances. And that's okay. But man, when I was a kid, I did not like to be called that it said that I look like a girl, that I resembled my mom. I was a boy. I still am a boy, kind of a grown-up boy, man, whatever. But that's what it was. It would drive me crazy. This morning, we're going to kind of take the opposite look at that. Ladies, not just moms, or whatever category you put yourself in. Ladies, I need you to hear this statement. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. Ladies, you are loved by God, and you should be treated as such, as an object of God's love. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. You are loved by God, and you should be treated as such. And I hope you've already heard that from someone in your life today, and if you have not, then rewind and play it again, because it's the absolute truth. But what I want us to do is take it one step further, and I want us to ask the question, ladies, do you know how you are beautifully and wonderfully made? Do you know why you are loved by God? Do you know why you should be celebrated as His creation? Do you know the answers to these questions? Because there's one answer, and the answer is this. Because you are made in His image. Ladies, you are an image bearer of God. That's why you are beautifully and wonderfully made. That's why you are loved by God. That's why you should be celebrated as His creation, because you're created in His image. Now, a lot of times when we talk about being made in the image, we kind of put it towards the man side. You know, we're in the South, so we have that whole spitting image thing. And we talk about, even when we go to the Bible and be like, God made man in His image. Yes, He did, but we leave out a very important part of that verse. And I invite you to turn to that passage in Genesis 1 this morning as we dive into the truth of the image bearer, ladies, that you are. So when we pick up in Genesis chapter 1, we have seen God create the majority of His creation. We've seen Him create the heavens, the earth, the skies. He's created the stars, the sun, the moon. He's created water and land and all these things. And He's about to put the finishing touches on His creation. And when we read Scripture, we see that it is the most proud part of creation that God desires most. Humanity, mankind. As we read Scripture, some of your version translations may use the word humanity, some of it may use mankind, but we're talking about that. So let's look at this in Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 26, just two verses this morning. Let's look at this. Chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them." This morning, ladies, I hope you recognize and see that you are created in the image of God. Which is unique, and just a little caveat to about this passage of Scripture. We've seen God create animals, we've seen God create birds and fish and mammals and all of these things. Actually, this is the first thing that we have in Scripture, because when God made all those other living things, He made them according to their kind. This is the first instance where we see that God made male and female. Now, I'm not saying that God didn't do that with the animals and the birds and the fish, but we see this distinction of how it's more detailed, it's more understood. See, when we talk about being made in the image of God, in Scriptures, this is why it's often attributed to just men, in the Scriptures we see God defined and described in very masculine terms. Now, it's not because God is a male, God is not limited by a sexuality or a gender, it's just the attributes and characteristics of God are primarily masculine, and they describe God. But this morning, I want you to understand that the reason women are different from men is not because that God created something radically separate. No, it's because God, when He created men and women, He poured His image into man. He also poured equal parts of His image into women. God didn't just create man, pour His image into man, and just let women kind of cultivate and develop however they do. No, it says that God created male and female and poured His image into them, which means that God poured His image into men, and then other attributes and certain things about God He poured into women. This is why women are better at things different than men. But at the same time, why men are better and more efficient in things different than women. This is why we are two separate things. Because God poured equal parts of his image into man and equal parts of his image into women. This is how we were created. Now, before we go any further, I want to take just a minute to preface everything with what we're talking about with a very significant truth. Ladies, I know it's Mother's Day, and I know it's a very special day. And I'm so thankful for the moms. And I'm so thankful for the fact that whether you're a mother or whether you're biologically not or whatever it is, I'm thankful for you and how God created you. But a lot of times when we come to Mother's Day or Father's Day or other days where it's kind of labeled with something like a Mother's Day is labeled, we kind of take on that mantle of, well, I'm a mother, so here I am, celebrate me, praise me, because everything you're about to say is about me and it's all good. I get it. And I want us to celebrate you as a mom, and I want us to celebrate the moms in our church. And I'll be honest with you, there is nothing better than celebrating a good mom. There's nothing wrong with celebrating moms that are absolutely fantastic moms. And the thing is, everybody thinks their mom is the best. Unfortunately, you're all wrong. My kids have the best mom ever, but that's okay. You're a very, very, very close second. I'm sure you are. But what I want us to take just a minute and understand this is what I'm asking you to do. As we unpack God's word today, I want you, as well as the men, as well as myself, as well as all of us who are in earshot of God's word, to hold ourselves and evaluate ourselves based on the standard of God's word as truth. The reason I say that is a lot of times we come to Mother's Day sermons or we come to Father's Day sermons, and if they're uplifting, if they're encouraging, we just instantly just kind of paint our whole body with that and be like, well, that's me. Well, he's talking about me. That, yeah, I do that. Why? Because I'm a mother. Oh, it's Father's Day when he's talking about being a man of God. Well, that's me. Why? Because I'm a father and it's Father's Day. I hope we can all say this, and I'm not one to evaluate anybody. But what I'm saying is, let's don't just pass through that gate and be like, well, this is me. It's definitely talking about how a wonderful mother I am. Look, whether you're a mom, I'm a dad, I constantly have to go back to the place of starting over and be like, man, I've got work to do. And the only way I know that is because when I evaluate myself, holding God's word as the standard by which I'm evaluated by. So this morning, as we talk about this and as we dive in, as we go deeper into God's word, let's let God's word truly evaluate us. And truly reflect the truth of how we are being obedient and living out how God created us and the image he poured into us versus where areas where we're being kind of slack or we've totally abandoned. Okay? Let's just be real and talk about that. Because when we think about it, when we come to whether it's a Mother's Day service, a Father's Day service, whatever day service, if it's graduate recognition, if it's Senior Adult Sunday, if it's Independence, whatever day it is, we don't just get a free pass because we're guilty by association. Well, I'm a mother, here I am, all this applies to me. I'm a father, it's Father's Day, so all this applies to me. No, the only qualifier we have is Jesus Christ. And the only reason we have Jesus Christ is because God in his abundant love for us made access to him available through the person of Jesus Christ, his son, and the blood of Christ that takes away the sins of man when we accept and believe and repent. And then the only qualifier that brings us into the room is Jesus himself. Not because I'm a father or because you're a mother or because of our age. There's nothing other than Jesus that brings us to the place. So as we walk through this church, let's all kind of sit at the feet of God and say, God, what does your word have for me? Highlight areas in my life that I'm not being consistent in my obedience. But God, this morning, and I've prayed for you today that as we walk through this word, that moms, you would be encouraged, that you would be encouraged, but encouraged in how we've been obedient and that we're convicted in areas that we're not, okay? So let's move forward. Now that I've heard everyone's feelings, let's keep moving forward in God's word. Look at this in verse 26. Verse 26, it says, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Now, ladies, this is the idea. When we talk about you being an image bearer, I want us to move past the idea that God created man in his image. No, it says God created man and female in his image. You are an image bearer. It's not just talking about the male gender was made. You were created. The female gender was made in the image of God. It's a reminder that God did put equal parts of himself in male and equal parts of himself in female. That even though males reflect the image of God and the glory of God. Women, females, can also reflect the image of God and the glory of God separately. But what we see here when he talks about male and female, because God poured equal parts of his image into males and equal parts separate image, equal, separate, bleep, excuse me, separate attributes of God that he poured equal parts into females, when males and females are united in marriage, it paints a more perfect picture of the image of God. It's like taking two pieces, a puzzle that's cut into two pieces, which would be the easiest puzzle in the world to put together. But when you take those two pieces of the puzzle and put them together, you get a more clear image of what's being portrayed. That yes, you could take half of that image and see, oh, I bet I know what this is illustrating. And I'll look at this half and be like, okay, I got a picture, an idea of what the bigger picture is. But when you put them together, you see that image that God created. You see the reflection of God in his creation. When you see those two put together, when a godly man and a godly woman unite in marriage, we see a more full picture, not just of the image of God, but of the glory of God and of the love of God. This is what we talked about in our marriage series when we said that your marriage should be the most accurate reflection of the gospel the world can see. It goes back to these roots in Genesis chapter 1. Because when a godly marriage takes place and when the husband and the wife are loving each other and praying for each other and both pursuing the Lord together as well as individually, then they're going to continue to portray God, to reflect God, the image of God in a healthy, more complete way. That's what an image is. That's what we're talking about being an image bearer. You think about a mirror, a reflection. What is reflected in the mirror is a copy of the original. That's who we are as image bearers of God. We should be reflecting the goodness of God. We should be reflecting the attributes of God. Men can reflect attributes of God that God poured into them, and women can reflect different attributes. But when they put together, it's a more beautiful picture. We have a lot of marriages in our church, and husbands, wives, regardless of the fact that it's Mother's Day, does your marriage portray and reflect a healthy image of the glory of God in which you were created in? Now, I am not sitting here saying that single parents can't be good reflectors. No, I'm not saying that at all. There are some godly women, there are some godly men that are single parents and that also reflect the image of God. But what I'm saying is what God poured into us is we only got, I wouldn't even say half. I don't know how much of God's image he poured into us. We just know that it was God poured some of his image into man. God poured some of his image into females. And they're different. And when you come together, you get a more vivid picture in that. Together, males and females coming together, you get a more beautiful glimpse of the image of God. This is also more evidence of why marriage is meant to be between a man and a woman. And that's how God intended it from the beginning. Actually says this in one chapter after this, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. It says this: that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. They become one being, so that the image that's being portrayed in their marriage reflects the glory of God. So ladies, moms or not, I want to encourage you with something today. Taking what we have into account and based on God's word and taking the truth of how you were created and the image bearer that you are of God, I want to encourage you with three things today that you can take away and hopefully be encouraged by and start implementing and practicing and continuing to practice in your life. The first one is this. Ladies, you reflect the image of God in your lifestyle. Being an image bearer means that you're reflecting the image of God in who you are. But what it is, it takes place and it takes root and it's reflected in your lifestyle. You don't just walk into the room and everybody recognizes the glory of God, especially if you're not pursuing the Lord or being obedient to his commands. So when you think about, well, how do I reflect the image of God in my lifestyle? Well, the idea is reflect the attributes of God that we see in Scripture. What are the attributes of God that we see in Scripture? Well, there's a whole lot, but I'm just going to narrow it down to one list, and it's called the fruits of the Spirit. And listen to the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, 9 things that a lot of these things, when you really go back and think about it, they kind of get associated most commonly with women and how well women demonstrate patience and kindness and these things. Men do it too, guys. I'm not selling us short, but a lot of these things are kind of associated most primarily with women. I know in my life, when I read that list of the fruits of the Spirit, those 9 things, I'm like, yeah, my wife's good at all of these. She's better than me in all of these things. And ladies, if we want to be we, I know we're not going to edit that out, but I'd like to. So, ladies, as you move forward in living out your faith and how you live out this image of God that's been poured into you and in whose image you're made, these are the first thing I want to reflect the image of God in how you live. And when we talk about how you live, what we're talking about is living out these fruits of the Spirit, practicing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all these things. Practice it with your husband. Practice it with your children. Practice it with your best friends. For many of you who may not be married or many of you who don't have children, practice it with your coworkers. Practice it. Practice it with every single person. Why? Because God practices all these things with every single person too. Those who are saved, those who are lost. God is still practicing these things in order to draw all men and all women unto himself. So you too, ladies, this morning, as you're an image bearer, reflect the image of God in your lifestyle. Number two, and I really hope you listen to these things. Number two is this. Ladies, stop living a life of comparison. I don't know what it's like to be a woman at all right? And manhood has its issues as well, but I know that when we talk about women, I know this is a common topic that comes up, is that women live this life of comparison. And they compare themselves to somebody else or something else. We spend too much time on Facebook and we see how everybody else is living their life and doing their thing. And we think, why I need to step it up my game. I need to do better. I need to do this. I need to diet this. I need to wear this. And we start getting this idea that we live our life based on what everyone else is doing. Understand this, ladies. The only thing you're called to reflect is the image of God. Not what the world is telling you you should look like or do or be or what you should eat or what you should wear or where you should go. We're not called. We weren't created. You weren't created to live a life of comparison. You were created to live a life that reflects the image of God. And how this plays out in the church scene, if you will, is I know there's a lot of godly women in this church, and I'm so thankful for them. But I've also talked to a lot of women that say, you know, well, so-and-so, maybe it's an author, maybe it's a speaker, maybe it's this nationally or world-renowned lady who's known because of her relationship with Jesus. And I've talked to so many women, man, I look up to them, and that's my spiritual hero, that's my Christian role model, she's my inspiration, and that's great. But you know what? We still shouldn't be living in comparison to them. There's godly women in this church that many of our students, many of our children, many of our young ladies, many of our older ladies still look to them and be like, man, I've only had it together like she does. And we start living this life of comparison, and every area in which we fall short, we take it as discouragement, and it's like a boulder that sits on our shoulders, and it's just like, oh, I'm just not good enough. I don't have time because I'm a parent. I don't have time because I'm a wife. I can't sign up for another Bible study or be a part of another prayer group or go be a part. And we start beating ourselves up because we don't think we're good enough. We don't think we're spiritual enough. Ladies, you're an image bearer. And you shouldn't be living in comparison to how somebody else bears and reflects the image of God, because you're not called to bear and reflect his image in that way. You're called to do it in the way that God created you. That's why in creating you, he put his image in you. I'm so thankful for godly women who have paved the road, who have gone before us, godly women in our church that are serving and leading and doing amazing things. Man, understand this, how God created them and how he poured the image that he poured into them is unique to them. How God created and poured his image into you is unique to you. And our church is stronger and our church is made more of a vivid picture of God when you live out the image that God has poured into you. Stop living a life of comparison. And the third thing I want to encourage you with this is this. An image bearer is called to be, not called to do. An image bearer is called to be an image bearer. It's not something that you go and do. It's something that you go and be. You know, I've gotten the privilege of being around hospitals when church families have welcomed a new baby or a new something into this world, and it's so cool. Never have I ever seen a parent bring a new child into this world, and before they leave the hospital, a parent looks at them, no good parent has ever looked at their child after they were born and say, "Hey, you know what? I'm so proud of you. You are my son. You are my daughter. You are my whoever." One of the two, by the way. "But I need you to go out and earn this last name that I'm giving you. Hey, you're here. You're in this world. I'm so glad you're here. I'm thankful. But now, go earn it. You got my last name. You better make me proud." Now, I have seen parents discipline their children because the children have done something in a public forum that brings embarrassment on them. But they didn't say, "I'm going to change your last name so you're not related to me." Maybe you've done it out of spite or just out of sarcasm, but you know what I'm saying. No parent is going to abandon their child and refuse their last name and no longer be associated with them because of their behavior. Why? Because you were born unto me, you are my child, and therefore you have my last name, you have our family traits, you have our family legacy, and you are coming up. You don't have to earn that. When you're brought into the family, you're a part of a family. Ladies, you're an image bearer. You don't have to earn that. You were giving that at creation. And what God is calling you to be is more important than what God is calling you to do. Because when we are being who God called us to be, what we do flows naturally out of that. So ladies, this morning, understand that when we say you were created in the image of God, it's something of who you are. That's something of what you can go do or what you can go earn. And if you've been trying to earn it, if you've been trying to about what you do, if you've been trying to create that checklist so you can be a better Christian or closer to God, understand this. Be who you were created to be. And all those things flow naturally out of that. It's not a burden that you take on. And so many of our ladies, that's kind of an association thing with mom, the burdens they take on and the bear and they carry and they hold up for the rest of their families, including their husbands. But when it comes to being an image bearer, when it comes to understanding that you were created in the image of God, that's just who you're called to be, not what you're called to do. And maybe when we can unpack some of the things that we're trying to do, whether it's living by comparison, whether it's taking a lifestyle that's not edifying Christ, and we're trying to fit Christ into something. No, get rid of the lifestyle that doesn't edify Christ and build your life around Him. And understand that we're called to be the image bearer and not become or do what an image bearer does, but it's just who we are. It's ingrained in our DNA. But whether you're a male or a female, and while we were all created in the image of God and He poured His image into male and He poured His image into female, eventually sin entered the picture and tainted the whole thing, tarnished the whole reflection. And we're talking about a reflection. An image is a reflection of the original. When we talk about sin, it literally just takes like mud and just smears it all over the mirror and messes up our reflection. Yes, we're still made in the image of God, but look what we've done to it. But here's what's really cool. Because God loves His creation, because God loves you, because God loves me, because God loves everybody in the room with you, it's one of these things where we have to understand that God doesn't take His image lightly. And that while we were created in His image, and while we tainted that with our desire for sin, I want to point you to Colossians chapter 3. And this is what Paul writes. He says, "Now you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." Look, you were created in the image of God. And even though we fell into sin because of our human nature, God doesn't just leave us and abandon us there. He still is pursuing us, reminding us of whose we are by whose image we bear. And in doing so, he has redeemed us through his Son, Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ that eliminates our sin when we choose to accept his offer of grace and repentance. Our repentance is our response to his grace and his mercy. And when we acknowledge our belief in God through Jesus Christ and accept the gift of forgiveness, we become his. And there is a day coming, church. There is a day coming where God will make all things new. Where he'll take me and he'll take the cloudy image that I've tarnished with my sin, and he'll once again dust it off and he'll wipe it away so that his image that he placed in me will be the only thing seen. That happens every time that I'm forgiven. That happens every time where I go to the Father in repentance and he takes and removes the sin like that was done on the cross, but leads me into righteousness and pours his Spirit into me so that I can continue to glorify him. He's eliminating the muck and mire of my sin so that his image is what can be seen in my life. And the same in yours. Ladies, this morning, do you know that you're an image bearer of God? Did you remember today that you were created in the image of God? Male and female, he created them in his image. And if so, what are you doing about it? Are you enjoying being an image bearer, or are you still trying to earn it? Are you living a life bearing the image of God and reflecting that image, or are you still trying to live by comparison and compare and do what everyone else is doing? Are you living out your image by pursuing a relationship with God and letting that be the relationship that defines all others? By living out the fruits of the Spirit that God has already given us, in order to reflect God, we act like God and we love like God and we treat others like God loves them? Or are we still just trying to figure it out one day at a time? Moms, I'm so thankful for you. Whether you're a biological mom, whether you're a spiritual mom who is in pouring the love of Christ into not just our church family, but other believers, thank you for how you love, for how you serve, for how you sacrifice. I pray today that you will be blessed and you will be encouraged by the presence of God in your life. And when those days come, when those hard days come, when it's difficult and challenging and you're really, really discouraged, do not forget that you're an image bearer of a holy, true God. I'm so thankful for you. Thankful for what you do. Keep it up, because it's building a kingdom. Can I pray for you? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the ladies in our church. God, some of them are blessed with motherhood, and I'm thankful for how they have used that for your glory when they have. God, we have a lot of ladies in our church that aren't biologically moms, but God, they have invested and poured and sacrificed and given to so many that they have made such a difference. And I pray, Father, that for all of our ladies, regardless of motherhood status, that they recognize how they were created in your image and how you poured that image into them. God, I pray today that they would be loved and celebrated by the people in their life, hopefully the people that they're with right now. And God, you would speak truth into them through your word, reminding them of their identity that is found in you because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for a church that men and women who reflect the image of God actively serve and love you in. God, we continue to pray for the day where we will resume our meeting together and be back in the same place. But in the meantime, Father, may we not lose sight of how you've called us and how you've created us to love you and bring glory to your name every single day. Today, Father, bless our ladies and be glorified in their obedience and response to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, church family, for taking time to be with us today. Hopefully we'll be together soon, but in the meantime, have a happy Mother's Day, and I look forward to seeing you soon.